You are listening to KDUCK's Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUCK's Richland College or the DCCD. And that's the Dallas County Community College District, for those that don't live in Dallas. Today I'm going to try to cover two stories, but I'm definitely going to cover the first one, and I want to do that first before I highlight the second one. In the news yesterday, and it started in the morning, was the fact that there wasn't a shooting in a high school. There was actually stabbing in a high school, and not one person, but 20 people. And the count is either 20 or 21. There was a little, I'm still not sure of the exact count, but I believe it's at least 20 people were stabbed. And this was by, and they captured the teenager. He was a 16-year-old teenager. And this was in Pennsylvania. And I have, for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show, or the way most people listen to the show, is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to the recent 50 to 60 shows. And at the very bottom, you have my entire portfolio of shows. But in between, you'll have a lot of information that I have looked at. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Many are YouTube videos, as well as articles, photographs. I have a number of photographs here as well as charts, tables, depending on the story. And I give that information because I want you to do your own homework and make up your own mind. I'm going to give you my views, comments, opinions on what's breaking news in the United States. And yesterday, even into today, this was the lead story. The fact that you had a teenager, a 16-year-old, went into a high school and started to stab people. Some very seriously, namely they penetrated the body. They're not just slashing type cuts, but stab wounds where, for example, in the stomach area, one missed the heart, but still did damage to some internal organs. About 6 to 7 people were really seriously hurt. I don't want to minimize it. No one will die. Fortunately, no one has died and probably no one will die as a result of this attack. But he even knifed or stabbed a security guard in the high school. And it was only after an individual tackled him and they wrestled him to the ground and handcuffed him that they would feel secure. Fortunately, one of the students, I think, did the smart thing. He pulled the fire alarm to get the people out of the building, both the teachers and the students out of the building. And that's not a bad idea, because when you have someone on a rampage like this, that's what you should do. Now, I was listening. I really had not heard. Usually, see, if the student had used a gun, we would be hearing story after story today. Well, we need to ban guns. We need to register guns. We need to limit access to guns. It would be nothing but what I call gun grabbing stories. Because there are people that want to eliminate the Second Amendment to the Constitution. And that amendment is important because it protects us against tyranny, government tyranny. And that's why gun sales for the entire Obama administration have been skyrocketing. Barack Obama has been the best thing for gun sales in the U.S. history. It's still going on. People are buying more and more weapons. They're buying more and more ammunition. Why? They fear their government. And that's why the founders put the Second Amendment in. It wasn't so they could practice and become part of the National Guard. They didn't have a National Guard then. It was an individual's right to keep and bear arms, because they saw what happened when they were under British rule, where you had a king that was a tyrant, and the British troops would just walk into people's home and ransack it. Now that doesn't go on. Why? They have the National Security Agency does it. I'm being a little facetious here, but not really. To protect us against the government, the founders gave us that precious right, and that really, I think, is an important check on any leader that gets in the White House, because they know the American people are armed and dangerous. And if you come after their arms, they're not going to sit there and let you do it. So as much as the gun grabbers want to do it, they know they can't do it. because when they've tried, they've gotten kicked out of office. Now, they'll keep trying. They'll be looking for another incident like you had in the high school. But there was no stories about registering knives or people need a concealed knife permit to carry a knife. None of those stories. Now, I'm saying that a little jokingly, but not much, because it's people that kill people, inanimate objects. It doesn't matter whether it's a gun, whether it's a pistol, a rifle, a knife, a club, a baseball bat, a piece of furniture, all can be deadly weapons, but they don't become deadly weapons by themselves. It takes a human being interacting with that inanimate object that makes it deadly. And we're very fortunate that no one was killed yesterday. We're reading the reports and the comments of students and people that knew this student. He was a very shy individual, a very quiet individual. But something was really bothering that individual, because think about it. He brought not one, he brought two knives to the high school and then proceeded walking down the hallway stabbing people. You have to be profoundly disturbed to do that. And there was no prior history of this. And you hear the phrase, well, something made him snap. I have no idea what made him snap. I always suspect in these cases that the individual was on some form of medication, prescribed medication. I've been reading the press reports. That has not come out. But based on the statements of the parents, they had no prior knowledge that there was a problem. He has no criminal record at all. It wasn't a problem student, but he was quiet. He was shy. Some reports were indicating, well, was he bullied? What really led up to this? And there's usually something. People just don't randomly start going into a high school or anywhere, a college. I'm sitting on a college campus and start shooting at people or stabbing them or hitting them in the head with a club. There's usually some conditions leading up to that. And what's disturbing is in many, many of these cases, I'm not saying all, but in many of these cases, they're on some form of prescribed drugs, usually for depression. And I'm waiting to see how the press is going to cover this. No mention of that in the story. What was surprising was the sheer silence. I thought the gun grabbers would be out in force, but they weren't. And the reason is that this really is a good case illustrating the problem. The problem is not an inanimate object. It's not a gun. It's not a pistol or a rifle or a shotgun. It's a knife. And next time it might be a baseball bat. Who knows? All can be deadly if you're dealing with an individual that has some psychological problem or mental problem, however you want to describe it. They need to seek help. And what's sad is this individual will be tried in Pennsylvania as an adult, and should be, and will probably spend many years in prison. Even with parole, I would not be surprised that he will not be out of prison until he's in his 30s, because this is not one person that he attacked. This is 20, including adults, and it can happen in any high school in America today, or across the world. There have been incidents of these types of attacks all over the world. The problem is mental illness, and it needs to be discussed, and it's simply not. It is simply not. Yeah, there might be some comments on a talk radio show or in a news story, but there really isn't a national conversation as to what do we do about the problems that we face in this country today, where we have people running around that are mentally unstable. I had an example of that very recently. I went to, and I related on two shows ago. I think this was late Friday. It was after 11 o'clock. I ran into the grocery store to pick up some bread and bananas. And as I was going to my car, it was dark out. I've never had problems at this grocery store ever. And I've been going there for many, many, many years. And some gentleman started screaming at me, hello, 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 really screaming. And I just said hello and kept on walking. But he was upset that I hadn't replied fast enough. I'm a little hard of hearing, but I heard him and I did reply. But I didn't meet his expectations. And he ran up to me and he said, I need money to go home. Can you give me $4? I said, I'm not giving you $4. Can you give me any change? I said, I'll give you a quarter. And I gave him a quarter, and he was on his way. But he proceeded to do the same thing to people in closer to the store. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, that's inappropriate behavior. If you politely ask, he probably would have gotten car fare, but he didn't. he was bordering, you know, I was a little bit of fear. I usually am not intimidated by these people. But in this case, I was, because even though I was in a parking lot, I didn't see a security guard. Usually there's a security guard on duty. But that can happen to anybody at any time. There are a lot of people running around today that in the past, very distant past, would have been in a mental institution. They have serious mental problems. And to the extent that they're treated today at all, it's usually by a doctor prescribing medication. And the problem there is many times these medications, especially as the prescribed dose is either increased or decreased, causes side effects. One of them is that they're suicidal. And the worst case is not only are they suicidal, they want to take someone out with them as they commit suicide. Many of these shootings, whether it's in a college setting or in a high school, elementary school, or in a movie theater, well after the event, they find out that this person was being treated for depression or other anxiety attack, some mental condition. The doctor prescribed medication that the patient either was taking or what triggered the event, he stopped taking it. Because sometimes the problem is they stop taking the drugs. They're fine on the medication, but should they not take it or not take the prescribed dosage, that can trigger an event. And that is a point I'm trying to make. We need a really objective national discussion as to what are we going to do with the mental illness problem in the United States. Because these events are not that frequent. They might appear to be that frequent, but they really aren't. You usually get one or two a year. Now, the Fort Hood situation, we haven't gotten all the information on that. I think he was definitely getting prescribed medication, but they have not been forthcoming on that because it's too soon. And there's a privacy issue. And that supposedly was as a result of an argument that got out of hand. But that's just the triggering event, because you're not supposed to threaten or actually engage in physical violence. And you're definitely not to pull out a gun or a knife and to shoot someone or stab someone. But that, unfortunately, has become the outcome of when these individuals, if you will, snap. And we usually will never know the motivation, because in most of these cases, the individual commits suicide usually by their own hand or forces the police to shoot them. You know, death by cop, where they're waving a weapon in a threatening manner and the officers shoot them, because they could be, if they don't shoot them, they're going to be shot. And that happens. Now, at the Fort Hood situation, what happened? He put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. Unfortunately, three other people lost their lives. So it's way overdue for really what I'm calling a national conversation on the mental stability of some people in the United States, instead of trying to demonize or try to grab law-abiding citizens' guns. You see, there's no real cry, because people would be laughed at, to confiscate people's knives. Because most people use knives what they're for. Usually as eating utensils, or to cut bread or meat, steak knife, for example. I don't know what type of knife he has. They said a kitchen knife. You know, the one real sharp knife I have in my kitchen is to cut tomatoes, oranges, apples. And that's the only one I have. I have other knives that are knife, fork, and spoon to eat my meals. And occasionally I will need a knife. Usually I don't need a knife. Now, it would be foolish to say we need to confiscate that or register that. And that's the reason why I was being a little facetious in that saying the progressives are calling for the registration of knives. And I concluded, what's next? Baseball bats? But I was trying to make the point. It's a people problem. It's not an inanimate object problem. And you don't take away the pistols, rifles, shotguns of people that use them, first of all, to protect themselves and their family, primarily from criminals. That's why there are really about three or four reasons why most people have either a pistol, a rifle, or a shotgun. Number one is to protect themselves, their family and property from criminals that are trying to break into their home. It's self-defense. That's the first reason. The second reason is you have people that like to hunt, and they have rifles to go hunting. The third reason is people like to shoot, target shooting. And most of these people know how to operate a weapon, have training, and routinely go to a firing range and practice. Many of them have concealed carry permits or licenses. They're serious about gun ownership, and they practice safety. But they also want to have the right to bear and keep arms in the unlikely event that we get a tyrant in the White House or in Congress, or a tyranny of the federal government against the people. Because I think that is, if you think about it, a fundamental check on any tyrant. And I need you need to think about it. What happens, or what happened in Nazi Germany or in the Soviet Union or China when the communists and the socialists came to power? What was one of the first things they did? They confiscated the weapons of the people. So they became defenseless. So the only people that had guns was the government, the Gestapo or the secret police or the KGB. It became a police state where not only did you have to fear criminals, you really had to fear the state. And you had no weapons to defend yourself. You had no weapons to rebel. You were disarmed. That's why the American people won't allow anybody to try to grab their guns or do away with the Second Amendment. There are progressives out there, or collectivists, all of them are statists, by the way, that want to do this. They think the government should have the right to confiscate weapons and limit your ability, for example, to buy ammunition and to carry your weapons. You see, I'm a big supporter for conceal carry. 15, 20 years ago, if you asked people that own guns, they were in fear that their guns were going to be confiscated. They were buying, how to describe them, packages where they could bury their weapons in their yard or someplace else in case laws were passed. Well, what happened? In less than 20 years, all 50 states today have concealed carry. I think it might take another 10 to 20 years, but there's a move afoot to have open carry. I'm for both, but I'm also for people that should have to get training in it and be current in it. And most people that really have weapons, especially the ones that like to, that are either hunters or like to target practice, are current. The majority of Americans aren't, though. They keep a weapon in the house. They try to keep it away from children, including teenagers. But the primary reason they have that weapon is to protect it, protect themselves, their family, and their property from criminals that want to break into their home, mainly to rob things. Many of it's drug-related. They're robbing because they need money to buy drugs. Whatever the motivation of the criminal, many of them come armed with pistols, knives, blackjacks. You better believe the criminals are armed. I don't think the answer is to disarm the American people because that is really their only defense. Because if you wait for the police to show up, you might very well be dead. Yes, you can dial 911, but it's still going to take 5, 10, 15 minutes, some cases longer, for the police to arrive because sometimes they're on other calls. So depending on where you lived, what your circumstances is, many Americans choose today to buy weapons, rifles, pistols, primarily pistols, for self-defense, to defend themselves, their families, and their homes and property. And no politician that runs on trying to do away with the Second Amendment or limiting that right is going to have much success running for public office. Because once it becomes known that that person really is a gun grabber, his future in politics is going to be very limited. Yes, there are places in the United States that they can run, usually the most liberal or progressive cities. I always find it very interesting. One of the areas you have the most gun control have high rates of crime. Not all the time, but most of the time. I'm a strong believer where you have a well-armed society, you're going to have a very polite society, and crime will go down, and that has been the statistical record. So you gun grabbers out there, you're going to have to wait for another incident where you have multiple shootings before you can try once more. But I always say, look behind the story. What's really going on here? And most of the time, it's someone with a serious mental disorder. They're disturbed. And usually, not always, but usually they're on prescribed drugs that has triggered this event, because these drugs have side effects. And one of the side effects, it does make them suicidal. And in some instances, they want to kill people as well as commit suicide. They want to take someone, one or more people with them, and then commit suicide. So don't jump to any conclusions. When you hear that a local high school or elementary school has been closed down or is in lockdown, because it doesn't have to be a gun, it doesn't have to be a knife. There are a lot of inanimate objects that are just as deadly, like baseball bats, just for one example, clubs. If you look at the crime statistics, clubs and baseball bats are one of the leading weapons of choice in terms of homicides in the United States. It's not just guns and knives, but behind it is usually prescribed medication for depression or some other mental problem. That's all I have to say about that. But I did want to bring this story to your attention. It was in the news most of yesterday, and then suddenly it disappears. You see, there's a news cycle, folks. In every 24-hour period, there's going to be one, two, maybe three stories that most television stations, both local and national, as well as newspapers, radio, are going to be covering. And they're usually topics on talk radio shows like this one, because I'm giving you my opinions or comments on a current event. And it's sad, but fortunate, that even though 20 people were stabbed, I believe 6 or 7 quite seriously, they're all going to recover, thank God. Now, I want to go to, since we're talking about guns, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but there was a flare-up. There was a hearing, congressional hearing, where Attorney General Eric Holder was testifying. And just a little background, about a year ago, Attorney General Holder was found in contempt of Congress or the House of Representatives. First time a sitting cabinet secretary was found in contempt. Now, why was he found in contempt? Repeatedly, he was asked to provide Congress. And remember, Congress has, one of the roles of Congress is oversight of the executive branch. That is one of their primary responsibilities. They're looking into wrongdoing, crimes, inefficiencies, waste of money. There's a whole host of areas that one or more committees of both the House and the Senate periodically look into. Today, we seem to have hearing after hearing on a whole slew of scandals, including Fast and Furious, the IRS going after politically conservative, pro-life, pro-Israel groups, not granting 401c4 letters of exemption, going after the Associated Press, bugging their phones, going after reporters at Fox News. In other words, there's been scandal after scandal after scandal, and least I forget, Benghazi, which I think is one of the more serious ones. But the two, by far, that have resulted in deaths of Americans is not only Benghazi, but Fast and Furious. And I've had whole shows on Fast and Furious. But the reason we had a little exchange, if you will, between Eric Holder and a Texas congressman, and you've probably heard it on the news. It's Representative Gohmert. He's a congressman from East Texas, the Tyler area, and he was a former judge. And he was asking Attorney General Holder some questions. And remember, Holder was, a little over a year ago, held in contempt of Congress. Now, usually when a judge holds you in contempt, and this gentleman, the congressman, was a judge in Texas and has heard many cases, but if he finds you in contempt, usually you end up spending one or more days in jail until the contempt is purged. In other words, usually that involves an apology. Usually when you're held in contempt, you're engaging in inappropriate behavior in the courtroom, and after many warnings, warnings from the judge. The judge will find you in contempt and ask the sheriff, or depending on who's the constable, the bailiff, to escort this person to the jail, where you'll sit in jail until you come back and apologize for your behavior. In other words, whatever the contemptible behavior is has to cease and desist. An apology has to be made. Now, Eric Holder has not apologized for his behavior. And what the congressman was asking for was for the documents. We had a famous case in Dallas. A charitable organization was soliciting funds, but they were involved in terrorism. Freedom Foundation, but I know that's not the correct name, but it's close to that. Anyway, in court, the Justice Department provided the people that were being charged with this the information they had on them that they're required to disclose. It's discovery, and they provided the information in documents. What the congressman was asking from the Justice Department was for those documents, and the Attorney General of the United States was unwilling to provide them. It's a very, very reasonable request. But that led up to a little flare-up, because the congressman made the point, it seems, sir, that you don't regard contempt as not being that serious. I'm paraphrasing what he said. And Eric Holder said, well, don't go there, buddy. I think that's disrespectful in and of itself, but Eric Holder can say what he wants. But the reason why Eric Holder's behavior is in contempt is, for example, in the Fast and Furious situation, the House Oversight Committee asked for a number of documents trying to get at the truth. One of their functions is that what happened here? What is the truth? And they asked for document after document, and what the Justice Department would send over is documents, many of them totally blacked out, so-called redacted, where you can't read anything. That's not being responsive, because it is, under the Constitution and the law, it's the responsibility of the Justice Department to provide this information, and they weren't doing. That's why, by a lopsided vote, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, was held in contempt of Congress. Now, here's the problem. When you're held in contempt of Congress, it's up to the Justice Department to pursue that, take the legal action, because you should be thrown in jail. But who heads the Justice Department? Yes, the very person that was held in contempt. And he's still doing it. He's doing exactly what Richard Nixon did. He's stonewalling. That's an exact description of it. It's first they denied there was a problem, then they delayed, and now they're trying to deceive the American people what they're up to. And really, Congress, both the House and Senate, are getting very tired of it, because this is obstruction of justice. This is deliberate and intentional deception. This is just another example of misleading and lying to the American people. This is disrespecting the representatives of the American people in Congress. Now, the Democrats will say, well, this is just partisanship. Fast and Furious has resulted in the deaths of over 200 Mexican citizens and two U.S. law enforcement officers. It involved the ATF facilitating the sale of pistols and rifles to straw purchases that the guns eventually got into the hands of the drug cartel. The strong suspicion, and I still believe this, the reason this was done is the President of the United States, the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Attorney General Eric Holder were trying to provide some pretext for going after the American people's guns and going after gun stores, because they repeatedly said that approximately 90% of all the arms used in Mexico came from the United States. First, that is an absolutely false statement. That's just another big lie. But they were trying to gin up the fact that many of these weapons came from U.S. sources, stores. And who was facilitating it? Who was running this operations? The United States government. Because the ATF is under the Justice Department, under Eric Holder's. He was in charge of this. First, he denied he knew anything about it. That was a lie. You see, he is a very contemptible person, because he has repeatedly first denied and then delayed, and then shows his contempt of Congress by, yes, oh, we sent you the documents, and all you see in the documents, all the information, all the important information is blacked out. You'll say who it was to, who got it, to, from, you might get the title, and the rest is blacked out. That's not being responsive. That is being in contempt of Congress, and the congressman was absolutely right. I don't have any more time, or I would get into Fast and Furious, but I do have a number of videos on it just to remind you of what that case was about, and you can get it by going to pronkpops.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.